This is Managing Mayhem,
presented by two lawyers and a layman.
Because good intentions are not a legal defense.
Hello and welcome to Managing Mayhem with Patty, Jeff, and Jack. The three of us, still the three of us. It's the three of us hanging out again. What's up, guys?
Well, happy holidays. We're getting
happy
close.
Happy holidays.
Christmas.
Oh, yeah. It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
As it always is.
I haven't started my three-phase shopping of reconnaissance or just wandering aimlessly the malls and stores. And then, turns into buying things at Rite Aid for the family on Christmas morning.
It's all in the gift cap.
Right. Everyone gets a Chia Pet.
Seriously. Can't wait for mine this year.
Yep.
What's going on? What are we talking about?
Well, I thought because it's year end, aside from holiday parties, which we've already covered, and I hope everyone's having a blast out there and not working too much. But I thought it would be a good time to just have a short discussion on annual performance reviews, because that is actually what is looking everybody in the face right now.
Bum, bum,
okay.
Bum. Those so favorite. Those,
at the end of the year, everyone just gets a little bit of a talking to.
Well, yes, but the end of the year is different for different people. Some it's the anniversary service year, some it's the fiscal year, some it's the calendar year. So at some point, you have that awkward performance evaluation.
On either side, do people like giving performance reviews and receiving them? Are they useful?
And it's a question that even the, what was it, New York Post?
No, it was the Washington Post.
One of the posts, they did a survey, and it essentially came down to everyone hates annual performance reviews.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked at that and laughed, but it is so true. And, not to flood you with stats, but the most recent ones even saying that 9 out of 10 HR people and 9 out of 10 managers are saying they're really no longer an effective tool. So,
Why do people feel like they're not effective? What are the downsides of doing the performance review or giving the performance review?
Have you ever had one? What do you think?
I've never had one, but I can't wait to get one from you this year.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
I think that the problem seems like if it's just once a year to review, it will seem like a really high pressure situation. And unless someone's been really clearly documenting all of your work, then how do you know it's not just off the last couple days?
Right. I mean, what really happens. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the big problem with them is, are they truly an accurate depiction of what the person's done for the whole year?
And
it's a long time, seems sparse,
right?
and so that's exactly what a lot of people have problems with. Usually they're looking at the last 30 days, 60 days of what the person's done, and the manager's just kind of scrambling to what did Jack do that was good or bad,
and then it kind of minimizes all the other work that they did do
the rest of the year.
Right. I mean, my favorite is when they accept the fact that the manager doesn't know what happened. And so they say, oh, why don't you do a self-assessment? And then I'll just cut and paste it into my review, which causes, that's one thing to do some goal setting, a little bit of assessment, but to just write your own review.
It's like,
I've had to do that before. It's a bummer.
Have you really, Jeff?
I did it once, and it was funny because the manager who was coming in, I was like, this person has no idea what I do and how how I am in court or whatever.
They're like, you're Jeff, right?
Yeah, your name's with the J?
I've always resented those self-assessments because I know there's people that do horrible work and they just overrate themselves.
Yes, yeah.
And then I'm so hard on myself, so I'm giving myself really low marks. And
well,
so
I love the manager who just goes down the line of 1 through 5, 1's horrible, 5's the best, and they just put 4s across the board.
Yeah, or 3s.
The person's great, but they could always use some improvement.
Okay,
no one's ever perfect.
No one's perfect.
Right. It's like, my bonus depends on whether I get that 5 or a 4.
Right.
So
it seems like they're just not super accurate on a yearly basis.
Right.
That's a big one.
I agree, Jack.
Okay, what else?
Well, one thing I've heard is it takes a lot of time for managers. All of a sudden, it's the end of the year, and you're, or whenever you do them, but you've got a log jam of all of these employees. You gotta write these reviews on, and some of the documents are pretty extensive. You have to write a lot in there. So
the other problem I've seen is when I'm doing, for example, an investigation or a termination review, and I ask, where's your performance review? Some of them are 6 months past the year end. And so they're not really even relevant anymore. And they just get really behind. Another problem I see is that too much focus on the negative. And so you're just a morale killer for people, because it's like being called into the principal's office.
So. I think that's what it feels like. It's like, come into my office, and then someone's the great and powerful Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It immediately makes me feel like my mind starts to spin. It's am I being stressful. Fired? Am I doing a shit job? Like, it's already nerve-wracking to get called in, and then for just a big, huge review like that, and then to have it not even met with specifics or that much depth is, like, so disproportionate.
And, you know, managers, they're not embracing the good old-fashioned teacher compliment sandwich. You know, you give a compliment, a little constructive criticism, and another compliment.
Is that real? You know?
Yes.
That is real, but it's more effective at parent-teacher conferences.
You know? I like your sweater, you're a lousy employee, and I like your shoes.
You got good shoes.
Next.
You have white teeth, you are completely incompetent.
And your wife is nice. Next.
I think that other things that I've seen in surveys, one said HR focuses too much on completion rather than using as a goal setting tool.
Yeah.
Same with managers. I think it's not just, you know, technically a performance review is supposed to be 25% review and 75% goal setting. But people aren't doing that. It's a report card. And a report card, and you're summing in to the great and powerful Oz. No one likes that feeling. So
okay. So there has to be a reason that we do them. So what are those reasons?
I mean, I think a lot of companies use them for bonuses, right? Or
raises.
And to see.
Oh, so that's in that meeting, they'll justify whether or not you've gotten the raise.
They'll look at at your salary, at your performance, and see if you get a raise. And like, you know, in my experience, when I wrote my own performance review, and my boss gave me the fantastic 2% raise, which just accounts for inflation, you feel real good about yourself.
I'm worth it.
but I think most companies use it for raises, right? Wouldn't you say, Patty?
Absolutely. You know, it also is technically traditionally supposed to be a platform to give feedback, ensuring some type of communication that is occurring between the manager.
Right.
And so no one's just out there on their own.
Right. But once a year, that's ensuring minimal communication.
You're real in touch with your employees.
Yeah, you're talking to them once a year.
About how they're doing.
And they're doing a lot too. I feel like I love to get feedback. I love to know. I love to improve. Does anyone ever do them like once a month? Or like more frequently, or could they do that?
That's the sweet spot, in my opinion, because you would not need performance evaluations if you're committed to an ongoing coaching process.
Right.
You know, when I do trainings, Jack, I do tell people I recommend once a month writing at least 3 sentences about that employee, positive, negative, whatever, and meeting with them.
I hate your work ethic. You have very nice nail beds.
But you've got to do more ongoing coaching and communication if you actually expect to retain people, especially in this economy with this low unemployment and people not staying long. 1 year of once a year is not going
to
do it.
As a company, you do have to think about, okay, what is the actual point of it? Is it to calculate performance for a raise? Mm-hmm. Is it to do your yearly check-in, you know?
Which is it just because it's required?
Should be more ongoing. Goal setting. I mean, all those things will dictate whether actually it should be used once a year, or as Patty's saying, it should be monthly. It should be, you know, quarterly.
Then you could even do it in waves, because I feel like doing them all at the end of the year, the manager just has all of these reviews. It's like, how could they remember everyone's performance over the whole year? So if they could, like, do it in stages monthly, it just seems like it would break it up for everybody, and then communication would even be clearer.
Right. And if you keep that monthly coaching log, first of all, it accomplishes that you are having ongoing coaching and communication. You're taking that time, you're investing in your employee. The second thing is, at the end of the year, if you still are doing performance reviews, you can cut and paste each of those monthly entries into the performance review and have an annual full picture of their performance. But that's not happening right now. Some of my clients are doing it.
It might be nice, because then if you're discussing a bonus, you have all this information to actually back up the financial reasoning behind.
Right. And that's the problem with not having any of that documentation is it's so subjective. At the end of the year, with 1 month, you're like, oh yeah, he's had a good attitude all year, I guess. You know, it's like
so much emotional talk on the performance reviews about attitudes.
That's the problem. Yeah. Is that this is now the negatives from lawyers' standpoint, us.
Okay.
It's so subjective, Jack, like you're saying. So many opinions, things that go to their personality, not even their performance.
To their wife,
dang it.
The second thing is that performance reviews are typically the bane of an employment lawyer's existence, because they will say, great job, so they advocate for a raise for them, and then they want to fire them the next month, and they gave them all fives. And they're not really accurate assessments of their performance and compliance. So that's part of my frustration with them.
What do we do?
So what do we do? Like, I want to say one more thing. Yeah. Is that when it comes to performance reviews, they remind me a little bit. I'm going to tell you a little Christmas story. They remind me, I heard this where someone said their family always with their Christmas ham cut off the third of it. And it was a family tradition to cut off a third of the ham. I don't cook hams. I don't know. Okay. But anyway,
I don't know ham.
They thought something was required. And then they realized down the road that the reason that the third was cut off is because the great grandmother had a pot that was only so big. And so that's why it was cut off.
That is the family recipe.
I feel that way about performance reviews. We've always been doing it this way. Everybody's doing it. But why are we doing it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Why are we?
Is that a dumb ham story?
No, I like that. It's one of those things you just don't ask questions about. Right. It's just now we cut off a third of the ham.
Yeah.
We're doing performance reviews. Everyone hates them. 100% of people hate them.
So it's like if 100% hate them, why do we have to do them? And can we find a way for them to be useful?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're going to do it, you do what Patty says. You need to be
do
as
what
a manager.
Patty says.
Just listen.
For the love of God.
Mind me.
As managers in HR, you should be having monthly or at least quarterly check-ins with your employees as far as performance, goal setting, and like Patty said, documenting that, right? Writing up those comments, good, the bad, and also giving those to those people as well, so that they know when they show up in the annual review, oh yeah, we did talk about this and they did say this. So.
Yeah, because you just want, I feel like you want everyone to just be in the loop.
Right. So, Jeff, I agree with you. Many large companies have already ditched performance reviews, and they said they want their managers to have real conversations with real people, and they prefer weekly, but minimum monthly, regular check-ins. Overwhelming majority of employees say they want their boss to be a coach and a mentor who will help them improve rather than someone who's just measuring them and giving them a report card.
Right.
I agree with that.
And if your mentor or coach only coaches you once a year, you're going to have some really slow growth.
Exactly. Right. I mean, that's going to be pretty stagnant. So I think those regular check-ins. Now, if you really need numbers for purposes of justifying raises, then rank them monthly. There's one company that uses 4 questions and you answer yes, no to 2 and a rank on 2 of them once a month. And they just pop it in there.
Question one, is your wife nice?
Stop with the wife.
I don't know. This person is married.
it's so true. If you're going to use these, you know, some sort of measurement or numbers at the end of the year to decide how much you're going to give them as a raise, make it objective, but then do it monthly so that you can kind of average things out and it'll be more objective as far as whether they justify getting that raise or not.
Right. The other thing is that if you are just basically giving cost of living increases, the ranking is not as important.
If
you are giving merit increases, then those should be tied to if they're accomplishing tasks, goals that you both have mutually set together. Right. And so,
Then even you have some reason, like let's say you give a raise to somebody, not to somebody else, and they claim you're discriminating against them and that's why you didn't give them a raise. If you've actually monitored all
right.
of that stuff and communicated it along the way, even if it's small communication every month, then you at least cover yourself to go, that actually was legitimate.
Exactly. Absolutely. And Jeff's right, though. You have to not only document it, but communicate it to the employee right. every month. You can't just have it captured in your backlogged. Mind in a diary with a little key.
Why yeah. didn't you tell me I was a terrible employee for the last 12 months? Come on.
The other thing is that do not use any type of annual performance review for discipline.
Right.
If there's discipline, that has to happen when it occurs. If they're engaging in excessive absenteeism or they right. Were disrespectful, that has to occur immediately, not yeah. at the end of the year. By the way, right. 8 months ago, Jack, you were super rude at that meeting. You know, yeah. you're like, what?
Yeah. Oh, God. my worst nightmare. Every night I go to bed and just say, like, what interaction did I mess up today? Yeah. And then to go back that far, that's even a low blow.
Don't you guys, maybe I know I'm pretty hard on myself, but I'd rather have constructive feedback ongoing and notes yeah. than mm-hmm. have to wait a year and be called in. That's really stress-inducing right. to me.
Yes.
And so, also the good stuff. I mean, that's the thing that we, as Patty yes. said, a lot of these annual reviews are just so much focused on the negative, but people do a lot of good things throughout the year, so make sure those are documented as well and reflected in the review.
But also, if you're focusing on goals, people want to know what they're doing well and can improve right. on even more
exactly.
if they're trying to work towards a goal and you're trying to work towards that with them.
Right. Exactly. So what I would recommend is you give it some thought yep. into the new year. Obviously, it's hard to change it at the end of 2022, but feel free to reach out to us yep. for strategies on ways that you could reassess and do new rankings for that, new approaches. We're here for you. But mm-hmm. just maybe a discussion with your team about reevaluating whether performance reviews on an annual basis are working for you.
Right.
Yeah, it might be one of those things where if you wait to the last minute, it doesn't take a minute. You have all those performance reviews
oh, horrible.
In one
and your
speed.
Memory is not as good as you think it is. I
mean, yeah. And you truth. Already think it's terrible.
And it's bad already.
So we're going to be taking a little break now for the holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll be taking a couple weeks off and coming back on January 9th with Season 2 of Managing Mayhem.
Bigger, better, and everyone has a new haircut.
Right.
We really appreciate you guys following us in our first season during 2022. Yeah. We are overwhelmed by the listeners and followers. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. And we're really excited. In 2023, we're going to actually have some video options. So yeah. you'll have to look at what we're wearing, our hairstyles.
You'll have to look us in the eyes.
But thank you, guys. And Jeff and Jack, I really appreciate you guys so much. It's been so fun this year doing the pod with you.
That was a really good performance review.
That's it. Two thumbs up. That's your review.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think we'll end this pod with a we wish you a very happy holiday.
Holiday.
Merry Christmas, you guys, and happy holidays. Be safe.
Have a mayhem-free holidays and a happy new year, and we'll see you January
9th. On the other side. All right. Not death, just like the next year. Okay, bye!
Bye!
Managing Mayhem is presented by Management Northwest and Management Southwest and cannot be copied or rebroadcast without prior written consent. By listening to this podcast, you understand that we, or at least two of us, are lawyers, but we are not your lawyers. Therefore, nothing we say on the podcast should be taken as legal advice or considered to create an attorney-client relationship. It is solely meant for your educational and informational purposes. The podcast should not be used as a substitute for legal advice from an attorney licensed in your state. Please be aware that listening to lawyers can cause side effects such as migraines, self-doubt, and also manicure insomnia. But you know what? Trust your own judgment or you're not your mom.